and we're opening up our coal mines again, and we're going to do, I call it beautiful clean coal. The technology is so good now that coal can give you tremendous
black lung. It gives you tremendous black lung, Mr. President.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Do you care?
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
I don't think you do.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA and on dozens of other fine affiliate stations on both the airwaves and the internets around the country and the world, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Bradcast. As you may have heard, though perhaps as likely this year, given everything else that is going on, may not have heard, it is actually Earth Day.
Yes, it is.
Happy Earth Day, Desi Doyen.
Happy Earth Day,
with all of that in mind, coming up later this hour, Desiree will be here with our very first Green News Report after coming back from our much-needed spring break last week. So she's got a lot to catch you up with, including a bunch of stuff that happened while we were out. But, of course, as we like to say, Des, every day
is Earth Day here.
On the Green News Report, at least. Here on the Bradcast, on the other hand, not every day is Earth Day. But as luck, or bad luck, as the case may be, would have it, we've got a number of stories today that seem to work a bit too perfectly, I think, for Earth Day, for better or ill. So you are welcome, and or I apologize in advance, however you may want to see it. I want to start here. Among the stories that Des will be covering in our GNR later this hour is Donald Trump's triumphant White House ceremony. You heard a little bit of it there at the top, celebrating his new executive orders to bring coal back. Even though few, other than a few billionaire coal bosses and fewer coal miners than there are Arby's employees, actually want to bring coal back over cleaner, cheaper, renewable energy options like wind and solar, etc. But Donald Trump wants to stick it to Democrats and progressives and people who hate black lung disease, apparently, like, oh, you know, too many actual coal miners. So he's pretending he's going to make coal great again or something. Beautiful, clean coal, which you have to refer to it that way.
Yeah, that's what he says in his speeches. Coal, unfortunately, it can never be made clean or beautiful. It's a great energy source if you don't mind all the pollution killing people. So, yeah, it's beautiful and clean as long as you don't mind that.
It's, as long as you don't mind the darkness and the death.
Yeah.
For all the love that Donald Trump has professed for coal miners over the years, when in fact he really just A, loves their votes, and B, loves the coal mine owners because they give him money. For all of that, he sure does not seem to want to help as many actual coal miners to stay alive. In fact, he seems to want them to die as quickly as possible. From WDTV in West Virginia coal country today, a West Virginia coal miner is taking legal action against the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in regard to the recent layoffs at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, in Morgantown, West Virginia. Harry Wiley, a coal miner from Kanawha County, filed the lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia earlier this month after he was personally affected by those layoffs. How was he affected? Well, in the suit, Wiley says that RFK Jr., with no advance notice, terminated most of the critical employees at NIOSH, including the chief medical officer there who oversaw a coal mine dust lung disease screening and job transfer program, which puts Wiley and other miners on whose behalf he is suing, puts their health and safety in jeopardy. Wiley says that in order to prevent black lung from developing into totally disabling progressive massive fibrosis, the federal mine safety statutes in place since 1969 have afforded American coal miners a medical screening and epidemiological surveillance program, allowing them to have regular screenings to make sure that they are not developing black lung due to their daily exposure to coal mine dust. It also includes a unique right to transfer to a non-dusty job without a decrease in pay if, in fact, they begin to develop early signs of occupational lung disease. This program is commonly known as Part 90, referring to its implementing regulation. Now, after the implementation of Part 90 and the 1969 Coal Act limiting coal dust exposure, black lung disease actually declined pretty precipitously. However, since the early 2000s, cases, unfortunately, have been rising again, particularly in central Appalachia, which the resurgence is linked to increased exposure to silica dust from mining thinner coal seams, which requires cutting through more rock, producing more dust, etc. So the overall trend of black lung, sadly, has begun to resurge in recent years. In fact, it's become an epidemic among coal miners, even as the Trump administration is now gutting the federal program meant to implement Plan 90, the safety regulations to screen for black lung and to find new jobs for those who are developing it.
Yeah, and part of the reason why the silica dust exposure is rising is because all of the easy access coal is gone, and so now they're having to go even deeper and for less quality mines.
Yep.
That are increasing the exposure to silica dust now, which isn't as much covered under Part 90.
Well, because Part 90, they don't like it at all because it's a regulation. And of course, regulations are bad, right? Must cut them all to make America great again, after all, or as Bobby Kennedy likes to say, make America healthy again. Or as in the reality seen in cases like this, make coal miners that Trump pretends to love, make them sick again. That despite the fact that the Mine Safety and Health Act of 1977 includes an anti-backsliding provision, meaning that no administration may actually weaken protection for miners. Of course, as we've all learned over the past 3 months since Trump returned to office, laws are for suckers, right? Don't need to follow them.
Well, all you have to do is fire everybody that would be helping the miners.
Back in West Virginia, where they fired everyone after Harry Wiley learned that he, in fact, might be developing coal workers' pneumococcus, that's black lung disease, last year in November of 2024. He applied for the Part 90 program in hopes of transferring to a non-dusty job. According to his lawsuit, he mailed the form and the radiological imaging of his chest as required, but has received no response as of this time, as of the through the filing earlier this month, according to the suit, and he is still currently working in underground coal mines. Even as RFK and the Trump administration are gutting the program that might save his life. Without the Respiratory Health Division, as recently gutted by Trump and RFK, NIOSH is unable to process all of the incoming pending Part 90 applications like Wiley's, according to the suit. It requests that RFK Jr. comply with his statutory duties and restore all in the Respiratory Health Division of NIOSH, quote, who are integral to carrying out the epidemiological surveillance and job transfer provisions of the Mine Safety and Health Act of 1977. When asked for comment by West Virginia's local news outlet, WDTV, the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, which Kennedy now heads up, said they do not comment on ongoing legal matters. Harry Wiley's case, of course, is just one, no doubt, among many. He is actually suing on behalf of a class of similarly situated minors, like 35-year-old Kevin Weichel, a minor diagnosed with advanced black lung disease, 35 years of age. He was highlighted in a related story from Reuters today that has resulted in even elected Republicans now in coal country suddenly becoming very worried about what they have done to their own constituents. As Reuters reports today, happy Earth Day, by the way, West Virginia Republican U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito asked U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. on Monday to pretty please reinstate programs that are aimed at protecting coal miners that were recently hit with layoff notices. Capito, the chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services, said the work done by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, a division of HHS, is critical to her coal-producing state and does not duplicate any other government program. I see. So it was okay to lay off tens of thousands of federal workers in other jobs that didn't directly affect your constituents. Is that right, Senator? But now, well, I should note, Shelley Moore Capito voted to confirm Trump's nomination of Bobby Kennedy to head HHS. It was a very close 52-48 vote when she could have stood up for her constituents before they were put at risk by these barbarians. On April 1, HHS announced these widespread layoffs, including around 875 of NIOSH's roughly 1,000-strong workforce. Let me underscore that. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, that protects the health of coal miners like those in Shelley Moore Capito's West Virginia, had about 1,000 employees. But as of the first of this month, with the layoffs of 875 of those employees, there are now just 125 NIOSH workers overseeing occupational safety and health across the country. 500 of those workers had been stationed in Morgantown, West Virginia alone. That's where Harry Wiley filed his lawsuit before the massive layoffs in the very same month that Donald Trump then, a couple of weeks later, held an event at the White House with miners standing behind him in hard hats as he pretended to tell everyone how much he loves those coal miners. In the very same month. As Reuters notes, around 500 of those NIOSH employees who were from Morgantown, West Virginia, from the office there, worked on developing products and practices to protect coal miners and ran the surveillance program to detect cases of black lung, which is on the rise in central Appalachia. Quote, I'm concerned that the reductions in force at NIOSH will undermine the vital health programs important to so many West Virginians, Senator Capito wrote in her pretty please letter to RFK Jr. just yesterday. Quote, I urge you to bring back the NIOSH employees immediately so they can continue to support our nation's coal industry. She said she met recently with RFK, who, she said, agreed with the fact that NIOSH's work is unique. That, of course, only after firing hundreds of them. Reuters reported that the cuts to NIOSH have removed key federal protections available to minors who are increasingly susceptible to a more severe form of black lung disease, thanks to that exposure to silica dust that Desi mentioned. In the bargain, the decades-old program operated by NIOSH to detect lung disease in coal miners has been suspended. Related programs to provide x-rays and lung tests at mine sites have also shut down. How much do you love those coal miners, Mr. Trump? The loss of staff at NIOSH, according to Reuters, has also crippled black lung-afflicted miners' ability to get relocated with pay as part of the Part 90 program. Thus, the suit filed this month by Wiley on behalf of himself and other miners. Capito warned that HHS will begin the process of completely decommissioning the labs, including the West Virginia location, in the coming days, which would cost taxpayers millions of dollars just to decommission them. And then restarting them, if they did, would also add additional costs, she said.
Just incredibly wasteful and stupid.
No, how? That's efficiency. That's efficiency. Am I right, Doge Bros? She wrote, quote, "I believe in the president's vision to right-size our government," in her letter to RFK, "but I do not think eliminating NIOSH coal programs and research will accomplish that goal." In other words, it's right to, quote, right-size the government as long as it's someone else's constituents who will lose their jobs and or their lives while right-sizing the government. By the way, the government, the federal government, is about a quarter of the size it was back in the 1930s. Relative to the population, just in case, you know, you have been conned into believing, oh, the government, the federal government is now just a huge bloated bureaucracy. But, you know, I bet when it becomes time, Shelley Moore Capito will vote in favor of those $4.5 trillion in tax cuts that the coal mine owners will enjoy that Donald Trump is hoping to push through the House. Get to that in a moment. All of that as Reuters also reports today that Donald Trump's EPA celebrated this year's Earth Day by announcing they are firing workers who are tasked with overseeing environmental justice programs at the agency. Well, who needs them? The Environmental Protection Agency sent termination notices on Tuesday to staff who work on environmental justice programs at its headquarters and across regional offices, saying their work no longer aligns with the mission of the agency. Again, that agency is the Environmental Protection Agency. The reduction in force letters were sent to nearly 200 employees of the Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights who were placed on administrative leave back in February. They were then reinstated pending challenges. But now the RIF, the reduction in force notices, will take effect on July 31. Quote, "This action is necessary to align our workforce with the agency's current and future needs and to ensure the efficient and effective operations of our programs," said the letter to employees this week. The Environmental Justice Office had a mission of integrating equity and civil rights into environmental policymaking and protecting low-income and minorities most at risk from air and water pollution. But, like those coal miners, well, sorry, low-income and minorities most at risk from air and water pollution, good luck, and, by the way, happy Earth Day. By the way, the world lost one of its greatest champions of environmental justice on Monday, as we discussed on yesterday's program. That would be Pope Francis. More on his death in our GNR a little bit later. But speaking to reporters on Monday, the EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, who was appointed by Donald Trump, acknowledged, quote, "There are communities that have been left behind that need help." Before he went on to doge-splain that environmental justice programs at the agency were just not effective. Desi Doyen, is it true? Is it true that environmental justice programs at the EPA were not effective?
Of course, it is not true. Environmental justice programs that address pollution in minority and low-income communities are extremely effective. Studies have proven, many studies have proven that communities that are in areas where there are more fossil fuel power plants or refineries, more manufacturing facilities, mm-hmm. if they're near highway or transit corridors with, you know, lots of vehicle exhaust and smog, that they all have much higher rates of asthma and heart disease and lung disease and cancer, because they are closer to these causes of yep. the sources of pollution. Mm. And, you know, it's proven that they are in low income and minority communities.
Proven studies, data,
everything,
science.
Yes.
Who needs it?
So EPA grants for the Environmental Justice Office were actually helping communities afford the costs of addressing their endemic pollution problems. Because, you know, we're talking about communities that are generally low income, yeah. which means they have low property tax revenue and they don't have the funding to do this kind of work. So, for example, EJ, the environmental justice grants were helping to provide funding for electric school buses so that kids don't breathe diesel pollution mm-hmm. every day, or for pollution monitoring equipment, for replacing lead pipes that reduce kids' exposure to lead. you know, so what we know, though, is
that's
also
just not efficient. That's not, we don't need, you know, sorry, kids, enjoy the lead.
You have to breathe the lead. You have to breathe the diesel exhaust so that the polluter in your neighborhood can make yeah. more profits. Literally, that is what the Trump administration is choosing. And cleanup is really cheap. For every dollar that is spent just to reduce air pollution, not any other kind of pollution, but just every dollar on air pollution, Americans get in return up to $9 in public health benefits from people not dying prematurely, for example, or avoided hospitalizations for asthma, or, you know, fewer cancers and heart and lung diseases and strokes. So, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling. You know, obviously it makes me extremely angry.
Yes,
to
I can
hear
tell.
About
I can
this.
Tell.
And also, you know, these grants,
yeah.
they also produce jobs in mm. these communities, because you can't send your lead pipes over to China to have somebody replace them. You actually have to hire people in the community to replace them.
Well, you'll be not angry at all then to hear that the Trump EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin completely disagrees with you, Desi sure. Doyen. You've got it all wrong. You and your science and your studies and your data. He says, he told reporters at EPA headquarters this week, quote, "The problem is that in the name of environmental justice, a dollar will get secured and not get spent on remediating that environmental issue. Instead, that dollar will get spent on a group to tell us that we should be spending a dollar to remediate environmental issues."
That's a lie.
Okay, well, whether it's a lie or not, if that's a wasteful way to deal with the issue, what's the better way? What will Lee Zeldin be spending those dollars on to remediate environmental issues? Well, apparently that remains to be seen, because he didn't say. But what he did say is that he and the EPA staff are working on broader plans for the agency's reorganization that will include targeting cuts to its budget of 65%. So that already sounds more effective, doesn't it? As we have seen, however, for example, in the Harry Wiley lawsuit and the shutdown of the programs to fight black lung disease in coal country, Republicans who favor these massive cuts to critical programs suddenly find themselves against cutting these programs when it affects their own constituents, their own voters. And as it turns out, that could be a big problem for Republicans moving forward, as they hope to cut about $1.5 trillion from the federal budget over the next 10 years in order to pay for about $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, mostly to the wealthy and huge corporations. And if you paid close attention just now to those numbers, cutting $1.5 trillion in services to American people in order to pay for $4.5 trillion in tax cuts to rich people, well, you realize that even that math does not add up. But really, Republicans are hoping that you will not notice that. Either way, this is going to cause problems for them, I predict. And in fact, it is doing so already. Longtime listeners may recall that after the passage by Democrats only, I think it was back in 2022, of programs like Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, we discussed on this program how the tax credits made available to companies investing in green initiatives through that act were being doled out all over the country, those tax credits, in what environment and energy journalist David Roberts, I believe, told us, first explained on the show, was actually an ingenious plan, because it was sort of modeled after the way the defense industry has been set up across this country. You spread the spending out to as many districts as possible so that any cuts in that spending would then affect people all over the country, making it harder to make those cuts due to elected members of Congress fighting to protect jobs back home in their home district. That's how the defense industry has gotten away with it for years. And, well, the Democrats figured out, hey, it sounds like a good idea. Let's do it with the renewable energy initiatives.
And besides, these communities need jobs anyway. So these are 21st century jobs. Let's bring them in.
And it those programs, that program put in place by Biden and the Democrats and by zero Republicans for renewable energy related initiatives, ingeniously was created the same way. So now Donald Trump wants to cut all of it, everything that is either green related or Joe Biden related. And therefore, Republicans are realizing they got a problem on their hands back in their home districts. Again, from Reuters, who is just killing it today, by the way. No wonder they've been barred from the White House along with AP. Republican lawmakers working to extend U.S. President Donald Trump's tax cuts legislation are facing a clean energy conundrum back home as major clean energy investments in their districts are at odds with Trump's skepticism of the industry. Nice way to put it. 11 of the 26 Republicans on the House of Representatives Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee, who are now crafting the extension of Trump's 2017 tax cut legislation, represent areas that have seen hundreds of millions to, in fact, billions of dollars in green energy investment over the last few years. Clean energy investments boomed, Reuters notes, after former President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act passed a then Democratic-controlled Congress back in 2022. Reuters doesn't note it, but it passed without any Republican votes. And it authorized hundreds of billions of dollars of clean energy tax credits for businesses. Since then, businesses have unveiled more than $165 billion worth of clean energy manufacturing investments nationwide. And since most of those tax credits were not capped, well, there could still be billions more to expand manufacturing in the U.S., you know, like Donald Trump pretends to be doing with his economy and job-killing tariff trade war. The House Republicans, Reuters reports, are trying to cut at least $1.5 trillion in spending from the federal budget over the next decade to partly offset a tax cut extension that's expected to cost more than $4.5 trillion over that same time. Weird math, right? But here's the big problem for Republicans. More than 75% of the clean energy investments, about almost $125 billion, were targeted at Republican-held congressional districts, according to the data. Trump, they note, long derided electric vehicles as a hoax before he closely allied himself with Elon Musk and Tesla, claiming that he bought one of their cars at the White House last month. And by the way, we've got some fun Tesla news coming up for you, breaking late today. We'll get to that in a bit. But in Representative David Kustoff's district, for example, east of Memphis, Tennessee, just one example, the House Ways and Means Committee member touts investments by American automaker Ford to build a new manufacturing hub for electric F-Series pickups that were boosted by the Biden legislation. Ford and its South Korean partner, SK Innovation, contributed the bulk of the more than $6.5 billion in investments in the district in the last 4 years. That is the most of any House Republican tax writer on the committee. Please note, $6.5 billion in one single congressional district, that is a huge investment. A huge influx of jobs in one single tiny house district, all made possible by the tax credits that Ford now receives by building there thanks to Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Inflation Reduction Act.
See how that works? The tax credits go to the businesses, and the businesses then say, okay, it is safe to invest here. And you've made it easier for me, so I'm going to put up the bulk of that investment if I get that assistance.
The White House, in a document this month, tried to convince GOP House fiscal hawks working to advance the budget scheme that new revenue to offset potential new costs in the tax bill will be generated by repealing the green energy tax credits. Talk about weird math. Will be generated by repealing those tax credits, quote, to the fullest extent possible. Which is a nice way of saying probably not at all. Because behind the scenes, Ford has been working with lawmakers to maintain those tax credits, according to someone familiar with the talks. And we are talking about big numbers here, and a lot of them are in Republican districts. After the $6.5 billion invested in Congressman Kustoff's district, two other automakers, Honda and GM, each invested billions of dollars in electric vehicle battery plants for the next two districts with the most clean energy investments for Republican members of the House Ways and Means Committee. Congressman Mike Carey cheered the estimated 2,000 jobs that Honda would create in his district southeast of Columbus, Ohio. And Representative Rudy Yakim said in a statement that he was, quote, thrilled about this historic investment from GM back in 2023 that included 1,700 manufacturing jobs for his district in South Bend, Indiana. Y'all want to cut those those investments and those thousands of jobs back home? Do you really? I didn't think so. A new rare earth magnet production facility for components of GM vehicles and drones and other electronics was recently built in Representative Beth Van Doon's district. She's a tax committee member from Fort Worth, Texas. Well, now that China has said they're going to stop selling all rare earth minerals to the U.S. in response to Trump's tariffs, I'm guessing that American rare earth production is going to be sort of more important than ever. Congresswoman Beth Van Doon may not want to see that killed in her district and all the jobs along with it. The company MP Materials advanced its goal to become, quote, America's first fully integrated rare earth magnet manufacturing facility by investing $700 million in the facility, and said in a 2024 press release that they received an almost $60 million energy project tax credit funded by the 2022 Biden-era law. You're welcome, Congresswoman Van Doon. A GM spokesperson said the advanced manufacturing production tax credits, quote, advance U.S. leadership in critical technologies and led the automaker to announce thousands of jobs in three different states. Congressmembers Kustoff, Kerry, Yakim, and Van Doon's offices all declined to comment in response to Reuters about their tax priorities for some reason. Nationwide, 16 of the top 20 House districts with recent clean energy manufacturing investments are represented by Republican lawmakers. Many of them advocated to the Tax Committee last month to, pretty please, avoid disruptive changes to our nation's energy tax structure. Imagine. I do love that they're calling it our nation's energy tax structure, however. Rocking a hard place, Republicans. Quote, when companies make decisions relying upon actions from federal or state government, it's really important that the government honor those commitments, said Josh Brown, the president of the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce, who mentioned Ford's large investment in the rural west of his state. Any possibility that this investment could be pulled back or curtailed based on congressional action, he said, is very concerning. I bet it is. Just wait until we get to what Donald Trump has now done off the coast of New York in our Green News report a little bit later.
Yep.
Quote, this is a tough assignment for tax committee members that have renewable projects in their districts, said Ryan Bernstein, an energy practice consultant, adding you probably won't see a lot of dialogue in public, which will create a black box for a while on what is going to be included or not. So, yeah, I'm guessing the Republican Congress members who may vote to kill jobs in their own home districts so that billionaires can have huge tax cuts really, really, really do not want to discuss much of this publicly at all if they can help it. So Reuters is doing a service here by bringing this issue to light. And by the way, we've got affiliate stations in Columbus, Ohio, West Virginia, other locations that will be affected by all of this in the days and weeks and months ahead. So Democrats would be really wise to, make some hay with this in their own districts. Josh Marshall, who brought this particular Reuters piece from yesterday to my attention, he's been discussing of late a bunch of ways that Democrats, not just elected officials, but those who oppose the Trump administration, can be organizing to push back. One of his ideas, he explained yesterday, was to create a structure for pressing Republican reps who threatened to cancel the green energy investments in their districts under the Inflation Reduction Act. He writes about all of this, that it would be a very smart idea to lease billboard space right next to all of these new plants and putting up permanent signs that say brought to you by Democrats with zero Republican votes under President Joe Biden. In all seriousness, he continues, if you're an eligible billionaire or even centimillionaire, I've got an endless list of good ideas, he says. I can give them to you, and you'll get an extremely high civic political return on investment, and everyone will think you're super cool and smart and doing great work like Frederick Douglass. But not all of the green-related news today is completely grim on this year's Earth Day. At least as Desi Doyen tells me, she's got a bit of brightness for this year's celebrations. She says, we'll see if she's right, before or after getting to her latest green news report. And just in, as I promised right before airtime today, some new numbers right after the close of markets today that spell very, very bad news for some clown named Elon Musk. You might enjoy that as well. All that is straight ahead on today's broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Happy Earth Day. Hey, this is Brad. Please consider supporting whichever progressive media outlet is supporting you and the things that you care about. Most, just like us, do not receive corporate or political support. We all need your support to counter the powerful corporate media echo chamber. Right now, as much as ever. If you choose to support us, you can do it really easily, safely, and quickly via bradblog.com/donate. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you.
Electric car on road so dark, to change the end, rewrite the start. Electric car, so good so far.
Electric. Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Well, so good so far for the electric car, though maybe not for Tesla. Electric vehicle maker Tesla said on Tuesday, just after the close of markets, that its profits fell 71% in the first 3 months of the year.
I'm sorry,
71%.
71% they fell. Wow. Yeah.
I wonder why. And the New York Times notes it could increase the pressure on Elon Musk, the automaker's chief executive, to curtail his work for President Trump and spend more time managing the company. Yeah, by the way, wasn't it Elon who was supposed to be against remote working? But apparently only for everyone but him, I guess. The company said that it earned $409 million in the first quarter of this year, but that is down from $1.4 billion in the first quarter of 2024, you know, under President Biden. 71% drop. Tesla sales have been slumping, says the New York Times, because of intense competition from Chinese car makers like BYD, a lack of new models, and don't kid yourself, this is it, Mr. Musk's support for far-right causes, which has turned off some liberals and centrists from buying Tesla vehicles. Tesla shares have lost about half of their value since mid-December as investors have grown more pessimistic about the company's prospects and concerned about Musk's role in the Trump administration. The earnings were well below Wall Street expectations, which kind of makes me think, really, Wall Street? You haven't noticed the Tesla takedown movement, standing up protests at Tesla showrooms all across the country and the world damn near every weekend now? You haven't noticed users fleeing from his neo-Nazi X, formerly Twitter, site by the millions because of him turning the site into a right-wing cesspool? You haven't noticed that? Tesla declined to offer a forecast for sales and profits for the rest of the year, as is customary, saying there was too much economic uncertainty. Oh, I bet there is. Tesla said in a report to shareholders, quote, it's difficult to measure the impacts of shifting global trade policy on the automotive and energy supply chains, our cost structure, and demand for durable goods and related services. In what may have been an oblique acknowledgement of the damage that Musk has done to Tesla's reputation, the company referred to, quote, changing political sentiment, unquote, which it said, quote, could have a meaningful impact on demand for our products in the near term.
Gee, you think?
Tesla has steadily lost market share to Chinese car makers and more established automakers like GM, Volkswagen, Hyundai, because they have been offering a growing selection of electric vehicles. The Cybertruck, which is Tesla's only new vehicle for years, consumed a lot of the company's resources while it was being developed. The New York Times says increasingly looks like a flop. Sales of the Cybertruck in the first quarter were down 50% from the last 3 months of the year last year, when it hardly sold any. The automaker reiterated that it would begin producing a lower cost vehicle by the end of June. It always says that. That would make it possible for more people to afford an EV and potentially revive sales. But the company has not displayed any prototype or provided many details at all about the car. Analysts doubt whether the new vehicle will actually be available anytime soon. Musk often makes these wild claims about new products coming to market in just a few months or next year, which will make trillions for us. It then takes years before they actually see the light of day, if they ever do.
You'll be shocked to find out that Elon Musk lies a lot.
And really, it is a sad story. Because Musk and Tesla used to be heroes to folks on the environmental left. Thankfully, by the time he decided to blow himself up with his politics, there are plenty of other electric vehicle options out there. So why anyone would now buy a Tesla or, you know, whatever new cheaper EV that they plan to release, I couldn't tell you. As I warned some months ago, if you own Tesla stock, it was a good time to sell it. If you still own Tesla stock, by the way, yesterday would have been a good time to sell it, a great time to sell it. But as promised, not all is grim on Earth Day in 2025, just most, as Des will detail in her Green News report moments from now. But first, Desiree, you say there are at least a few things to be optimistic about on Earth Day 2025.
Yeah, a
pray
few things.
Tell, what are they?
Well, this is from the Washington Post, yeah. And I really like the way that they framed it. They said, quote, yes, the headlines are bleak. Yes, scientists are sounding the alarm. Yes, a growing pile of studies warn that the world is on the brink of irreversible climate disaster. Even amid the floods, droughts, and devastating forecasts, it's not all doom. Innovators are reimagining how we power our lives. Nature is pulling off surprising comebacks. Cities are cleaning their air, and nations are opening their wallets. So that's how they started it, we'll blow through these really quickly. So, first of all, new technology and clean energy breakthroughs are proceeding, particularly in other countries. So, in Stockholm, the world's first electric flying ferry. It's not really flying; it just goes above the water.
Yeah, it's very cool. I saw a photo of it.
It's a bizarre. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but it does glide above the surface, and that reduces drag and slashes emissions and cuts commute times in half. New electric vehicle battery innovation is going off like gangbusters, using different types of material, that don't require nickel or cobalt or lithium. They use abundant materials like iron that are cheaper, and they help make EVs cheaper and safer. Also, a thing called flow batteries. These are refrigerator-sized units that store renewable energy and could eventually replace gas and coal as reliable backup power. We already have major battery backup power plants that are underway right now in the United States.
Tesla makes some of those.
They certainly do.
But apparently it's not helping their stock prices or their fortunes.
Other innovations, including like concrete, one of the most polluting materials on Earth, has startups that are using everything from carbon-infused mixes to they use construction waste or other materials to lower emissions. Emissions concrete is a huge breakthrough. There's also steel. Europe is pushing ahead on innovative steel, where it uses renewable energy, and they're able to get the same heating that they would normally get from thermal coal, so they can completely eliminate coal in the steel making process.
Because that was a big deal. People say, well, you can use electricity for most things, but not everything. One of them is the creation of steel. You got to get really, really hot to melt the metal and so forth. And that requires something like coal. You're saying now there are alternatives?
Yes, they're actually doing it right now in Europe. And China is also interested in
this. Of course.
Yes. So also nature's...
Because they're not idiots like we are in this country. Please proceed.
Moving on to the next one. Yes. Nature's unexpected tools to fight climate change. So scientists have found ways to supercharge...
You know, Elon Musk was an unexpected tool to fight climate change. But I digress. Go
ahead.
Yes,
you please. Do. So you can trap carbon pollution in rocks.
Uh-huh.
We've reported on this before in the Green News Report, but basically when you heat certain types of rocks, like minerals, like olivine, I think is how you pronounce it, when you heat them up, you can actually inject carbon dioxide into them, and then they turn to even more rock. And so that is actually useful for a useful technique that they believe can be scaled up to actually pull carbon emissions out of the air, a process that would normally take millennia, but they can do it in about 2 years. In the Caribbean, sargassum seaweed. Remember how every spring it overwhelms beaches in the Caribbean?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They actually have some innovative entrepreneurs who are actually taking that seaweed and turning it into products like plastic and fuel and other stuff. So we have to move on quickly. Those species.
Well, let me just say, these are a lot of, you know, really cool innovations, things that are happening that the U.S. is generally now under Donald Trump, at least the U.S. government, is basically backing out of, saying, oh, let somebody else do it. Let people all over the world do it. We're not going to have anything to do with this new, incredibly important innovation because, we love coal and our coal miners, who we don't mind if they die.
Right. They're going to do their best to prevent these things from moving forward in the United
in
States.
In the United States.
It is working elsewhere. Yep. So species slowly rebounding. Sea turtles, for example, in some areas are actually coming back from the brink. Other species are because of human intervention and conservation efforts. Also, big moves to reduce pollution in states and cities. If you haven't had a chance to read up on what Central Paris is doing, it is a huge transformation. Air quality maps show how when Paris got cars off their streets and transformed them into pedestrian-friendly areas, the maps show a stunning difference. You know, they were glowing red with pollution years ago. Now those maps are green.
They've cut like
nearly completely
50%.
Green.
And people in Paris love it. They want to get rid of, I think they just approved another 500 streets to be turned into a pedestrian
so
and bike walkways.
It's a particular kind of air pollution. It is down 55%.
Yeah.
And also they mentioned that countries are mobilizing. So even though Trump is withdrawing the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord, other countries are stepping up what they are doing. There was a deal to protect biodiversity that other countries signed and committed investments to. The U.S. did did not. Last week, the United Nations member countries reached a landmark deal to cut greenhouse gas emissions from global shipping, which is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Of course, not the U.S. Trump administration withdrew from that. So those are just a few things that are happening. So it's not all gloom and doom. It is definitely bad out there, but there are things moving forward.
There's a lot of good stuff moving forward, just not here.
Right.
Actually, that's the truth. There is also here, we'll see how and if, as I mentioned in the previous block, you know, if Donald Trump and the Republicans will cut all of that off at its knees as well, because there is a lot of investment, a lot of innovation happening here. But again, you know, Donald Trump wants coal and get rid of all the wind for his golf courses or whatever nonsense. Anyway, thank you for at least some hope on Earth Day, Desi Doyen.
Yes.
We will link to that full piece over at Washington Post for more details on all of those really cool innovations and some good news for a change for a few minutes to brighten up your day. Here, of course, to ruin the rest of it, as usual, is Desi Doyen with our latest Green News Report.
This really is next level offshore wind aggression.
While we were out, the Trump administration halted construction of major offshore wind farm. Trump EPA exempted U.S. coal plants from new pollution rules. Plus,
I think he's a very progressive pope.
Pope Francis, champion of climate action and environmental justice, has left the building.
That's a pretty fancy building. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's not all bad news. We're bringing back coal. No, really. Trump signed an executive order this week. We're bringing back coal. Not for energy, just blackface.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as usual, we take a week off and a year's worth of stuff happens, so good luck catching us up on what happened while we were out.
Thank you. Well, as we go to air, it is Earth Day, celebrating the only planet in the universe known to support life. Earth Day 2025 marks a time of great upheaval as the Trump administration accelerates its destruction of climate and environmental laws and policies. While we were out, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency granted more than 70 U.S. coal-fired power plants 2-year exemptions from Biden-era federal air pollution regulations that were intended to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals such as mercury, arsenic, and benzene, plus soot from power plants, while the EPA now will work to dismantle those rules. The Trump administration also announced it will no longer require an environmental impact statement for thousands of oil and gas drilling leases across the U.S. West. Environmental groups sued the Trump EPA to restore deleted websites and databases that track pollution and climate impacts on low-income communities and environmental risks faced by tens of thousands of Americans. The Trump Department of Agriculture canceled a $3 billion program that helped farmers improve crop yields, soil health, and adopt climate-friendly practices.
You're welcome, farmers.
The Trump Interior Department halted the construction of a major offshore wind farm off the coast of New York State that supports nearly 4,000 jobs and would have powered 500,000 homes. Experts warn that stopping construction on a fully permitted project representing billions in investment that already broke ground indicates no projects are safe in any industry. This is Robert Freudenberg of the Nonprofit Energy Regional Plan Association in an interview with NPR.
It should send alarm bells, not just to the offshore wind industry, but to industries beyond offshore wind, that the federal government could choose to stop projects that had been approved and are underway at their whim.
The Government Accountability Office last week issued an exhaustive new report finding that the offshore wind industry poses little risk to whales.
Because it was never about whales for Donald Trump. It was about the fact that he didn't want to see windmills off of one of the golf courses he owned out in the ocean. And so now Everybody's got to do without wind.
The Trump Interior Department also launched plans to expand offshore drilling for oil and gas with a new 5-year offshore oil and gas leasing program that includes new zones in the Arctic.
Oh, no problem with offshore gas. That's gorgeous.
Meanwhile, the impacts of human-caused climate change are accelerating. Hundreds of millions of people in India and Pakistan grappled with unusually early extreme summer heat last week, hitting a scorching 120 degrees Fahrenheit in some areas, straining energy supplies and wilting crops. A rapid analysis by European nonprofit Climameter directly attributed the early heat to climate change. They found minimal influence from natural variability and said that heat waves in the region today are 7 to 9 degrees hotter than in the 1980s.
120 degrees.
Finally, Pope Francis died on Monday at age 88. Francis was a champion for the poor and marginalized and a surprising and outspoken advocate of tougher action to address climate change and environmental justice, bringing unprecedented focus to it at the Vatican. Among other actions, Francis issued a landmark encyclical in 2015, Laudato Si, calling climate change a moral issue interwoven with justice, and said the destruction of the environment is a sin.
We must side with the victims of environmental and climate injustice, working to put an end to the senseless war against our common home.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Ba-ba. Thank you very much, Desi Doyen,
yes,
our producer, and thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your Earth Day with us. It is greatly appreciated. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download all of them for free anytime at bradblog.com. That is made possible by those of you who hit one of those donate buttons while you're there, or go straight to bradblog.com/donate. To help us stay on your public airwaves, to help us keep fighting the good fight against fascism and autocracy, we really rely on you and only you. We are 100% listener supported.
Please help us spread the word about climate change and everything that people can do to make their world better.
Drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. You will find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at The Brad Blog. You will find Desi Doyen
at Green News Report.
And we will see you at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. Cosa buena que viví, me recuerda a ti, papá.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.